I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. What is going on, OTB Nation? Welcome into episode number 318 of the award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB and Deej coming at you. We got a lot to dive into, some fun topics on this show this week, as we have a nice little trip down memory lane from Graham Paro, who we got to get on this show because his brain is just filled with so much knowledge. He wrote an article this week for his website, NLLChatter.com, that I haven't even showed DJ this article yet. I just want to see his reaction because it's the ultimate, like, guys being dudes type of conversation where you go back down, see how trades turned out, who got drafted with certain draft picks and things. And then there's a little, like, revisionist history from the PLL and goalies that were drafted in recent history that our pal Joe Keegan just quote tweeted the PLL's post about our guy Blaze Reardon being drafted 51st overall, and seeing the goalies that were drafted ahead of Blaze and another elite PLL goalie in 2016. But before we get into everything we're going to talk on this show, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/OTBLaxPod. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed. Subscribe to the goddamn pod. Apple, Spotify, leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. It goes a long way for helping this show continue to grow, helps more people find OTB, helps us hit new milestones that allows us to do more dope stuff with and for you guys. And it really does help us, you know, keep getting to the top of the mountain and, you know, being the best goddamn lacrosse podcast in your ears and for your eyeballs. So keep subscribing, Apple, Spotify, and subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show every week, full video episodes of every show on our network, clips, shorts, live streams, original video content. It's all on the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. We're at 761 subscribers. Let's get 39 more of you to subscribe before the end of April. I think that's extremely doable. Let's get to 800 as we head into the month of May, where we have our big draft stream, Memorial Day weekend. And before you know it, Deej and I are going to be in Albany covering week one of the 2024 PLL season. So let's get those subscriber numbers up, because we might have some competition, Deej. We got some big dogs getting in the podcast game that we'll talk about later on in the show. So subscribe. And, of course, subscribe to the Outside the Box podcast YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/@OTBLaxPod. That's where all of our Champ Series interviews, just as interviews standalone, are located. We're putting some clips on there as well. And our PLL weekend vlogs this year will go on that channel. So subscribe over there as well, youtube.com/@OTBLaxPod. Get your merch at phiapparel.co. If you want to stand out in the crowd, whether you're going to your favorite team's NLL stadium, whether you're going to a PLL weekend, watching your favorite college team, or you're just at home kicking it, watching lacrosse like everyone else, you know, on a weekend, keeping it cool, calm, relaxed, doing it on the TV, get the screens pulled up. You want to be comfortable. Get your OTB merch and your Underground Sports Philadelphia podcast merch from our friends at PHI Apparel Company. They are the best in the game. And when you go to check out at phiapparel.co, and you're ready to stand out in the crowd like Deej and I, use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your order. It is the most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing. And when you get your merch, we'll repost it. If you tweet us a photo, if you post a photo on Instagram, we'll repost it on our social. So go get your merch, phiapparel.co, code UNDERGROUND, 10% off your order. Coach Deej, it's game day for both of us. You've got a game to coach. I've got a game to broadcast as we're recording this. So we're both locked in and dialed, ready for a full slate of lacrosse.
Dog, I'm just happy to have the season rolling at this point. You know, we got a couple games under our belt. Been some tough ones, but the way the season was planned for us, all of our tough competition is early. So we'll be able to kind of get our footing up under us, and now that our toughest games are out of the way, and we can cruise forward. By the time most of you are listening to this on Friday, that I expect to win big, like big, like blowout big. So that'll be awesome to kind of get back out on the field, get in the win column for the first time this year, and really start to progress forward. But I mean, I can't be upset with anything I've seen from them or the abundance of lacrosse I've gotten on the weekends. Like the NLL has been great. PLL is obviously still making waves where they can in the offseason. And then college ball has been unbelievable for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I have my first lacrosse broadcast of 2024 on Thursday as we're recording this. And I do have some of my schedule, and it is confirmed, Deej. I will be broadcasting Vineland High School versus St. Joe's Hamilton and get to call a game that will be coached by Cannons defenseman Bryce Young. So I'm stoked that I'll get to see the boy, and I'm going to try to go to that away game as well when it's at St. Joe, because it's not too far down the road from me. So take in some of those games, and it's going to be a fun season for Coach Coring and the VHS lacrosse team. I'm very excited to see the progression from last year to this year. And you know, they fell in their game the other day to the neighboring town in Millville, 10-8, but it's good to see that like they're putting up goals this year. Like last year was kind of a struggle to score in bunches, and you know, for them to put an 8-piece up, I was pretty intrigued for, you know, an early season game. So I think it's only going to get better for them. Can't wait to see Coach Coring today. He's an avid listener of OTB, so shout out to Coach Coring. But we got a lot to dive into, and I kind of want to go down memory lane first before we even dive into what happened in the NLL, because this article captivated me, Deej. It's from NLLChatter.com. I'll link this in the description for everybody as well, from Graham Parrow. He wrote this a couple days ago. It is just so fascinating to see who eventually was part of this trade. So in October of 2010, one of the greatest players in the game and a box lacrosse legend was traded for another one. And this trade is between John Grant Jr., when he was traded from the Rochester Nighthawks to the Colorado Mammoth, in exchange for reigning goaltender of the year, who is still playing to this day, Matt Vince. Matt Vince was traded to Rochester in exchange for John Grant Jr. Three other players as well as a few draft picks were also involved in this blockbuster, which transformed both teams. Some of those draft picks wouldn't be made for almost 3 years, and the full extent of the trade wasn't felt for quite a while. There's even like a newspaper article in Everett, Washington, which was home of the Washington Stealth at the time, describing the trade. And he wrote in here that the writer of that article of the trade at the time said, "The Cody Jamison era has officially begun in Rochester." Correct. "The Nighthawks also seem to have solved their goaltending woes with the addition of Matt Vince." Correct. And then they said, "It's tough to think John Grant Jr. will stay with the Mammoth." Incorrect, because he stayed there for quite a few years. But here's what the trade entailed. So Colorado received John Grant Jr., in 2012, he scored a league-leading 50 goals and added 66 assists for a record at the time, 116 points. He only played 14 games that season, but that pace would have given him 149 points in an 18-game season. He was named MVP that year and was named to the Hall of Fame the second he was eligible. Also to Colorado was defender Mac Allen, who played 18 games with Colorado over three seasons, then finished his career with one season for the Nighthawks. Graham said he believes he eventually became a lawyer and worked for the NLL Players Association, which he maybe still does. They also received Rochester's first-round pick in 2011. So in March 2011, Colorado traded that pick along with Mike McClellan to Edmonton for Gavin Prout. And then in July, Edmonton traded the pick along with two other picks to Minnesota for Kevin Croswell, Ryan Cousins, Aaron Wilson, and a fourth-round pick. At the entry draft in September, Minnesota drafted, this is a name you'll know, Deej, Evan Kirk, now goalie coach for the Saskatchewan Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Rochester's first-round pick in 2013 was also part of this deal, which Colorado traded that pick along with another pick and Dan Carey to Toronto for Creighton Reed, Matt McLeod, and the 9th and 14th picks in 2011. The 9th pick eventually made its way to Buffalo, who used it to select Jeremy Thompson. The 14th pick was used by Colorado to draft Jamie Lincoln, and with Rochester's pick that was sent to Toronto, the Rock drafted Ethan O'Connor. Some big names so far, and this is just getting started. Rochester received Matt Vince, who we all know, obviously, is still playing to this day. It's very funny, he never played for the Mammoth, though, because he was acquired that same offseason when the Orlando Titans dispersed. So he never actually suited up for the Mammoth. But also going to Rochester was Matt Zash, who played four games with the Nighthawks before being traded to the Wings for a fifth-round pick. That pick, Aaron Tackaberry, never made the NLL, and Zash played six games for the Wings before calling it a career. Also in that trade, Brad Self. Self hadn't played in the NLL for over 2 years when this trade happened and didn't play in 2011 either. Graham says, I believe he was playing hockey in Europe at the time. In 2012, he returned to the Nighthawks and played there for 5 years, winning the Transition Player of the Year award in 2016. He played most of 2017 in Buffalo before being traded back to the Mammoth. He played the remainder of that season, plus the next two for Colorado, and now he is the Mammoth's GM. Interestingly, he's not mentioned in the Everett newspaper's article on the trade. So you have a guy who was elite, won championships, and is now GM in the NLL that was involved in this deal. Colorado's first-round pick in 2012, Rochester traded that pick along with Sean Evans, friend of the program, to Calgary for a 2012 first-round pick, to which they selected Johnny Paulus. The Roughnecks used that pick to draft friend of the program, Joe Resiteritz.
Okay.
Colorado's third-round pick in 2012, Rochester chose a player named Robbie Campbell. Nobody by that name ever played in the NLL, although a Rob Campbell played one game with the Wings in 2013. I would guess that it's the same person, but perhaps not. We've had two guys named Chris Gill play in the league at the same time on the same team for a while, and there were two guys named Justin Martin in the league now. But all in all, that trade obviously involved Matt Vince, John Grant Jr., and it launched the careers of Johnny Paulus, Joe Resiteritz, Evan Kirk, and Ethan O'Connor. That is wild. Like the trickle down, like domino effect of all of those draft picks turning into like four elite level NLL players and arguably the greatest American box lacrosse player of all time in Joe Resiteritz.
This is why I can never truly be a GM. Because you got to be able to sleep at night. And I couldn't imagine looking down the timeline and like going like way back and being like, oh, that was our pick. Cool. Like I wouldn't be able to sleep again knowing that I tossed away an opportunity at.
I think for Rochester, though, at the end of the day, like they're fine because they won three in a row.
Right. But I mean, just it's tough either way, because like you kind of got to make a move for the current and like achieve your goals, but like you don't know what's going to happen down the line. So you cannot predict down the line whatsoever. And then you end up in situations like this where it's like, oh, I could have had X, Y, and Z, and I'm stuck with this. Now, stuck doesn't pertain, shouldn't take a negative. Yeah, it shouldn't take a negative connotation, but it's like the what ifs really start to get at you in circumstances like that. Especially this one where like,
and Jeremy Thompson was also involved in this. I said, so like five like iconic players.
Multiple big names where it's like any one of those completely changes your franchise.
You're gonna trade John Grant Jr. and it immediately kickstarts the dominance and the elite level play we've seen from Cody Jamison in a Rochester Nighthawks and now Halifax Thunderbirds jersey. Which is, I mean, just like,
we'll
it's the domino meme. Trading Matt Vince for John Grant Jr. launched the careers of like six guys that four of them are still playing to this day. One of them is the GM of the Colorado Mammoth. And then Evan Kirk is the goalie coach for Saskatchewan. Like, that's like six careers that we have followed on this podcast that have taken off just from that trade. That I think at the time, if we were around like covering the NLL back when this trade happened in 2010, like we would have been like, holy shit. Like, that's like big name for big name. And like, obviously John Grant Jr. is like regarded as like a Mount Rushmore type of player when it comes to pro lacrosse. And Matt Vince is arguably the best goalie to ever suit up in the NLL. And they were traded for each other, to which then like all the trickle down created careers for a literal handful of guys. But I read this article the other day and I was like, holy shit.
I may have to take a little bit deeper dive on Mr. Perro's website and kind of fall into that rabbit hole that it is. Great. Like,
we got to get Graham on this show.
I do see him like on Twitter and like,
yeah,
I always like take note of what he's saying, because it's normally while I'm surfing Twitter during a game and I'm like going back and forth to people and stuff. So I see him on there a lot, like dropping a lot of good gems, but I haven't like made it over to the website to fall into that rabbit hole, mostly because I don't have time. I don't have 2 hours, 3 hours to just throw away.
Knowing us, we will like, we'll be like, here we go.
We'll
blue skidoo into that bitch.
Come on, you got to do better than that. It's a straight rider dead fish. Like, we have this straight dead fish in there.
We'll just be like, we'll need our tomahawk shades.
Big facts. Need them bad. Blue light going to be saving the day.
Saving our eyeballs. But yeah, we'll link this article in the description because Graham lays it out like perfectly with like all the trickle downs and, you know, who won the trade and all that kind of stuff. It's great. But just had to guys being dudes there on that one. Let's get to the present day NLL. Deej, week 19 is in the books. Closing in on the end of the regular season, which is crazy to think about. But week 19 happened, and we had some very interesting outcomes, some big-time games, some special teams, special plays, special players. Shout out to Sketch. Saskatchewan and Calgary in the first matchup, your Roughnecks got the big dub at home, 12-10. Buffalo edges Colorado 13-11 at the Loud House. San Diego prevails over Panther City 14-10. Shout out to the Seals. Not only have they followed us on Twitter recently, they have since followed us on Instagram as well. And I just got to say, at SealsLax admin is the GOAT. Vancouver with a big time upset to keep their postseason hopes alive. Win 15-13 at home against Halifax. New York downs Rochester 14-9. Toronto beats Albany 10-7. Redacted takes down Las Vegas 13-9 and clinches a postseason spot. Saskatchewan, with goat poop all over their turf at halftime, take down your Roughnecks 12-9 in the rematch. And then Panther City defeats my Wings 12-10 to officially eliminate them from the postseason. Quite the week in the NLL action? What stood out to you the most from this week, Deej? And how do you see, you know, things taking shape now that we have half of the postseason field determined?
Shout out to the homie Trevor, just to open things up. He had a fantastic game this weekend for San Diego, even though that was the lot closer game than I thought it was going to be. I thought San Diego, like, would have that one on, like, cruise control. But Panther City really fought for that one and really wanted to keep things in a good position for themselves. So it ended up being a phenomenal game on Friday. Obviously, I don't know why I expected Buffalo to blow out Colorado, but they are probably never going to do that. And that game was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. A lot of good stuff there as well. And obviously my two sad points of the weekend were Calgary dropping the back end of the dub, of the back-to-back, and then Vancouver coming out of absolutely nowhere to beat Halifax. I did not see that coming whatsoever. They played a phenomenal game. Everything was – it was kind of the Vancouver we expected to see, like, maybe like 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, like maybe even a little earlier than that. Like, I kind of expect them to find their footing and take advantage of all the really good players they have and the coach that they have coming in and make something happen. But it seemed like it kind of clicked over the weekend and the light bulb went off and they were like, this is how we need to play. This is what we need to do. And it looked very, very good.
Yeah. I also was pretty impressed with the defensive effort from Toronto to hold Albany and the way that they've been scoring to 7 goals in their own, you know, arena. Was pretty huge for Toronto, and just, you know, not that anybody has lost faith in them as being the best team in the league this year, because I think they arguably are. But to be able to hold a team that is, you know, was on your heels trying to catch you in the standings to 7 goals while you're on the road is very impressive to me. Big win for the Riptide. Very excited for them to hopefully stay in the mix and, you know, punch their ticket to the postseason. That's a huge win against Rochester for them. Yeah, Trevor had a phenomenal game and a phenomenal week. Also, I saw our guy Cody Jansen post about this. He had to have been runner up. Mike Messenger had one hell of a weekend for Saskatchewan at the faceoff stripe against Calgary. And I feel like with Mike Messenger, he's one of those guys that, you know, he just kind of flies under the radar, but he is so fucking talented at what he does in the transition game. Like, it's almost like disrespectful to say he's a poor man's blank, because he's not on a level of like a poor man's blank, but like, he does a lot of the things just in a different style that Zach Currier does. Like, he gets up and down the floor in transition. He can score, can take faceoffs. He's such a fun player to watch, and I think we as lacrosse fans need to do a better job of giving Mike Messenger the credit he deserves for how, like, multidimensional he really is.
It's being an all-around player often gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like, to me, it's, like, the most criminal thing about sports. Like, being an all-around player is what you should be striving to be, is what coaches should be striving to have, is what should be getting put on the pedestal. A coach should be able to put you in the game, no matter the sport, no matter what it is, to do it because you have the skills to do it. Not saying you can't be slightly better at other things. So I think there are some things that Zach Currier does better than he does mm-hmm. other things. And every, you know, all-around guy is like that, where they do some things better than others, but them having the skills to do absolutely everything is the best thing you can have. So for the fact that they're kind of just brushed under because they're not this electric goal scorer that has 1,000 goals a year, or is not this lockdown D guy that just pushes people over and, you know, it's just a lockdown, you know, it's just doesn't let anything get by him. It's this person that has good defense, really good at ground balls, has a decent shot. Like, they kind of are just good/decent at everything. That's the person I want.
Mm-hmm.
because they understand that they don't have this astronomical talent that's going to put them above and beyond other people. It's, I got to get out here and ball. I got to get out here and go hard to make sure that my decent shot becomes a good shot. I have to go out here and ball out to make sure that this guy doesn't get past me because I am just good at defense. Those guys have just a different mentality, which translate into them having that all-around skill set and being able to affect the game in multiple ways. Now, I think that's the biggest part of it, is they can affect the game in multiple ways.
Yeah, Mike right? Messinger, like, and 21 of 23 on faceoffs, had a goal and an assist and 17 loose balls on Saturday.
I say, and especially in box, right? You see, in field, it's a lot more advantageous. I shouldn't even say advantageous. It's easier for attackmen to affect in the ride and get the ball back and make a defensive play. It's easier for a D guy to head up field and get a ground ball and go score. But like in box, it's almost like everybody has these really defined roles. So like if you're a scorer, you're like almost limited to just scoring. If you're a defender, you're almost limited to just defending. So having those guys on your team that are able to be one of your top five or on offense, or be one of your top five on defense, or be one of your first two or three transition guys that you choose from. Oh yeah, that guy can take a face off while we're at it too. Why wouldn't you want to put that guy on a pedestal and want to put him out front? Mike Messinger is a perfect example of that. He already takes face, and he's a guy who can shoot and has a good shot, great defensively, knows the game of lacrosse, and he works hard. Those are the kind of people that I wish were kind of put on a higher pedestal, but the things they do hardly make like highlight reels and stuff. And as we know, that's what grabs kids' attention.
Yeah, Mike Messinger is unreal, and people need to start paying attention to how damn versatile and good he is. Here's your standings, Deej, after week 19. Toronto, obviously in the playoffs at 13-3. They are still the one seed. San Diego at 12-4. They look to be shaping up, unless, you know, something absolutely disastrous happens down the stretch for them. They're looking poised to be the two seed at 12-4. Albany right now hanging on to the three seed at 10-6. Redacted is right on their heels at 10-7. Buffalo sitting in fifth at 9-7, still looking to clinch a postseason spot. Halifax at 9-8, Panther City at 8-8, New York at 8-8. And then we move to your Calgary Roughnecks, still in the mix, at 7-9, Saskatchewan at 7-9, Vancouver at 7-9, Rochester at 6-9, Colorado at 5-10, the Wings at 5-11. And then Vegas officially eliminated at 4-12. I think the Wings, like, there's like a ridiculous, like, 1 in 1 quadrillion chance of them making the playoffs, but I just don't see it happen because they need this to happen while they win out. So pretty much booked there, but we move forward to week 20 in the NLL. We are in the 20s, everybody. And this is the schedule for week 20 in the NLL. Philadelphia travels to Colorado on Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, to take on the Mammoth. That's a big game with draft pick implications because the Wings do hold the rights to the Colorado Mammoth's first round pick this year. So the Wings definitely want to win this game for a multitude of reasons, as well as, you know, getting that draft pick that they have the rights to be a whole lot better. Rochester heads to Toronto on Saturday at 7:30 Eastern time. Your Roughnecks head to Buffalo to take on the Bandits at 7:30 Eastern time. San Diego heads to Saskatchewan. That's at 9 Eastern on Saturday. And then Colorado at Vegas, 10 Eastern time on Saturday. And then New York at Vancouver, 10 Eastern time on Saturday. And then Sunday at 5 Eastern, we've got Albany at Panther City. What are you looking forward to the most this week, Deej?
Obviously, I need Calgary to win and continue to win. And the tough part about that is they're playing a team that has not clinched a playoff spot yet.
Big game for both.
So they're going to be going, and they're going to be pushing hard. They're coming off a win. So that's going to be a huge game on the weekend. And I don't know. San Diego, Saskatchewan seems to really be popping out at me. I think it's just because it's going to be a fun game. Like, I think San Diego will still play and try and keep it close because they're going to try and get at Toronto for that one seed. I don't think they're going to like go over the top either, but like Saskatchewan's in the hunt in terms of, you know, right behind us and right ahead of Vancouver.
Can I add one thing to your Bandits matchup for your Roughnecks?
Of course.
Game is sold out
in Bandon. Oh, why wouldn't it be?
19,000 people will be in Bandit Land on Saturday.
That place is going to be rocking.
19,000 strong.
19? They might as well open up a few more seats and go for the 20 burger. Like, it's right there, bro. They could definitely do it. That's crazy. 19's crazy. So and low key, now that I'm looking at this Vancouver and New York game, is pretty.
That's going to be fun.
That's going to be interesting.
That's a big game for both teams.
I could use a loss there. And if Albany wants to beat Panther City, I could use that too.
Every single game this weekend outside, well, not even. Every single game this weekend has some sort of implications for either the playoffs or the draft.
We don't care too much about the draft, so yeah.
Well, I'm just saying for the teams that are...
That Friday game, I'm giving
you crap. Not even that. Vegas and Colorado, that's for the first overall pick.
Well, that's... Yeah.
Because if Vegas ends up pulling a win...
We care more about that than we do the Friday game. I was just giving you shit about the Friday game.
The Friday game is massive. I don't care about that. I need the wings to fucking win.
We want this third pick, not the second.
No, I want the second pick. I need the wings to win. But like the Vegas-Colorado game, depending on the outcome of the Friday game, that could be for, you know, positioning for number one overall.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think either one of y'all is gonna be worse than Vegas.
Well, mathematically it is because
even if Vegas wins this week, they're not beating Buffalo next week.
Well, no, I'm saying like positioning wise going into that next weekend, like the way it would shake out, if Philly wins against Colorado, Philadelphia would go to 6-11. Colorado would fall to 5-11 going into that game because they play twice, obviously. Then you have a 5-11 versus 4-12 matchup, and if Vegas wins, I think this is the only time they've played Colorado this year, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm wrong, let me know in the comment section. That flip-flops. That's huge. That's huge. And you know it.
The first huge part of that is the Wings beating Colorado.
Yeah, I know.
So let's pump the brakes there. Let's.
Look I'm at just Friday giving all second. Scenarios.
I don't know if I trust y'all to win Friday.
I don't know either, but
like a win Friday for y'all makes things very, very interesting. A loss guarantees that you get the second. They get and Vegas gets the first.
Well. If we lose, it guarantees Rochester gets the second because they have the Wings first round pick.
Then Rochester's going to get.
That's what I'm saying. This is huge for the draft and for the playoffs.
Not that huge. I personally don't care.
Well, I do. Some people care about young talent.
I bet you do. We got plenty of that up north. So we good over here. We just trying to get in the playoffs. I wish we didn't start so bad. I really wish
tell me about
start
it.
So bad. Boy, y'all been slipping for a long time.
Tell me about it.
At least we had a bad start and then figured it out, and we've been pushing since. Y'all,
because you have a competent offensive coordinator.
I don't even know. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Saying.
I feel bad for y'all. But yeah, no, I think.
But also, like draft playoff wise, that Rochester Toronto game is huge for Rochester, because either they're going to be looking at their offseason or they're staying in the hunt in the playoffs going into the final weeks.
I don't even think they're really in the hunt right now.
Well, they're a half game behind the in the hunt.
Which makes you not in the hunt.
No, it kind of does because you're all because, even in the loss column.
Well, the people in the hunt is barely in the hunt. So they not really in the hunt.
That. I wouldn't say that.
Dog.
You guys are a game behind two teams that are 8-8.
Two teams that are probably going to win this week, 8-8. Well,
no,
maybe not Panther City.
Yeah, I was going to say that game.
I kind of trust New York. So like,
Vancouver's been on one.
I know.
We said that last week.
That was last week.
That's not a given. That's not a given.
That was last week.
This isn't, you know, 2 months ago, Vancouver.
Hold on. New York, not Halifax. First off.
This also isn't 2 months ago, Vancouver, where it's a pushover game.
Ever since New York found out that their lease was up, they've been on one. They said, hey, we got to hit the streets, boys. And they've been grinding.
They put the Timbs on and said, what's popping?
What's up, son?
Like, start playing many men.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm happy that things are the way they are this year because I think last year things were pretty wrapped up around this time of the year. So, like, it became pretty cookie cutter, and we were more so looking at who was playing for seeding rather than who's trying to make the playoffs, who's not, how are draft picks going to work out. Like, it seems like in every spot there's some competition, right? Like, looking at the standings, they're still Toronto and San Diego, they're still fighting for 1 and 2. Like, Toronto doesn't have the 1 seed locked up whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There's still space for Buffalo to jump Georgia or maybe even Albany within the next couple of weeks and make their seeding better. Obviously, Halifax. But then once you get past Halifax, Panther City, New York, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Vancouver, they're all fighting for 2 spots. And then down at the bottom, maybe Rochester sneaks in, but man, do they need help. I think you really have 4 competing for 3 spots in terms of the draft and playing that how they want to and where they want their draft picks to be. So there's competition all over the board, and nobody can kind of take a week off at the end of the season. Love that.
Yeah, like I'm looking at Rochester's schedule too. Obviously, they're playing Toronto, and that's the most difficult game you could ask for at this point in the season. But looking ahead for them, because they have 2 games left, they play twice next week in the final week of the season. They're at Redacted, and then they're home against the Wings. So, like, their fate of season is still very much in the balance, depending on their next 3 games. Like, they have a lot of work to do. And they need help across the board, but like, they're not necessarily dead in the water at 6-9. And having 3 games left is huge for them, obviously, more so than the other teams that have 2 games left. So you still have a little bit of like control your own fate by winning, but they're going to need some help along the way with other teams losing, you know, in certain spots. But it's going to be next week, outside of this week being insane for implications and seeding and, you know, draft positioning. Like, next week's gonna be even more crazy when you have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday down to the wire to see who's gonna clinch these playoff spots, who's gonna be, you know, having their season ended on a sour note, and who's gonna be on the clock with that first overall pick. It's gonna be so much fun these next 2 weeks in the NLL.
Oh yeah, and I got my money on my boy's making me happy and squeezing into the playoffs at a 7 or 8 seed. We'll see what happens. But I have my figurative, non-existent money on Calgary.
I am I'm very intrigued for this entire weekend. There's going to be a lot of fun games, a lot of shifting in the standings, I think, is going to occur this weekend. So, Deej, why don't we head on over to the old pick pond, feed some ducks, and get everybody set for our NLL Week 20 Picks of the Week, brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia. It is a refreshing light beer, just 4.1% ABV, only 120 calories, and just 8 grams of carbs. I saw somebody the other day hold a Kenwood up to the eclipse and take a picture of a Kenny in the eclipse, which was absolutely fire. Go to kenwoodbeer.com. Use the Kenny Finder to see who's got Kenwood Beer on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, and Maryland areas. You can also get Kenwood Beer at your local liquor store in those markets. Check out the Kenny storefront. Get your pint glasses and awesome Kenwood Beer apparel as well. Must be 21 or older to do so. And of course, please drink responsibly. Once again, that's kenwoodbeer.com. Deej, we kick things off for week 20 in Colorado at the Loud House. Big draft pick game on deck as the Wings fly to Colorado to take on the Mammoth. I am going to try to will the Wings to victory so that they get a better draft pick. This game is going to be ugly, in my opinion. I don't know how it shakes out. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to take the Wings to win against Colorado. Got to score 13, though. That's the key. If the Wings get to 13, I'll feel good.
I'm going to go Wings here just because Colorado truly hasn't played against anybody but Buffalo. So,
Wardo doing Allen Iverson stepovers. He's truly Philadelphia's goalie.
I saw that, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
Unreal.
But yeah, I really don't know. This one's more than a toss up in my mind, but.
This is like the biggest Jekyll and Hyde game.
I got some ties to the city of brotherly love, so I'll stick with the home squad.
Then we shift to Saturday, Rochester at Toronto. Rochester's got to be playing like their heads are on fire in this game because their playoff lives depend on it. I'm going Toronto, though, but will it shock me if, you know, one of those 18-goal performances that we have seen from Rochester occurs in this game? Not at all. But I'm going to go with Toronto just because I love what they're doing defensively.
Yeah, I think Toronto wants to lock up that one seed and kind of have the easiest road to the finals that they can get. So, I'm going to be in agreement with you here. I think Rochester will make it a game, but I think Toronto's got this one in the bag.
Then we move to Bandit Land, a sold out Bandit Land, as your Roughnecks go in to take on the Buffalo Bandits. It's a rematch of the 2019 title game that the Roughnecks ended up winning, and that was the last time we saw them in red uniforms. I'm going to go Buffalo here strictly for the home floor advantage. With 19,000 of your fans behind you, if they can't win there and win that way, there's a problem. I think this game is going to be super close. I'm even going to go out and say that this game could be an overtime game. But I'm going to go with the Bandits to get a very close victory in front of 19,000 at home.
As much as I would love pick my boys, the grayscale has been tough to rock with this year. 19,000 is a lot of people. Matt Vince is still very good.
Great that goalie offense, matchup in this game.
That offense has been putting up crazy highlights the last couple weeks. I don't know why anybody thought I was going to do anything different, but God damn it. Calgary Roughnecks are going to win this fucking game.
We move to 9 Eastern time on Saturday. Our good pals, good friends, the San Diego Seals taking on the Saskatchewan Rush. I got to go Seals here. Strictly for reasons you were bringing up earlier. They're still right on Toronto's heels for that one seed. They want to, you know, have as many games at home as possible. They're going to want to, you know, keep their foot on the pedal and try to attempt to lock up that one seed. They've been playing extremely well ever since they followed us, oddly enough. Coincidence? I think not. I think since they followed us, Deej, they've only lost one game, which is crazy. And they've just increased their superpowers this week because they followed us on Instagram, and they are the only team in the NLL that follows us on Instagram. And we might be up to something with the Seals in the very near future. So I'm going to take San Diego to get a nice little rivalry dub against Saskatchewan.
I like San Diego here as well. I think they want to try and get that one seed, and you got to continue to win to do that. And I think, honestly, I think they're getting a little bit of a break here with Saskatchewan. They've had some good parts of their season and some bad, but they're really not the Saskatchewan we thought they were going to be this year. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to be able to kind of use that as a catapult before they head into week 21, where they're going to play Vancouver, who would love to spoil their season.
Then we have the Nightcap Part 1, 10 p.m. Eastern time in Vegas, Colorado versus Vegas. I don't know what the message will be from Vegas in this game. Obviously, they are the only team officially eliminated from the playoffs and are currently positioned for the number one overall pick. But I think as a franchise, you can't preach that as the message, because when it's all said and done at the end of the day, that eventual number one pick is coming in to try to take the job of somebody that's currently on this roster. It's tough to win two games in a weekend. It's tough to play two games in a weekend at that. But I'm going to take Colorado to beat Vegas, because we just haven't seen enough consistency from Vegas to win on a week-to-week basis. So I'm going to take Colorado to get a road win against Vegas.
Oh, man.
Although I would love to see Vegas win and cause mass chaos for the number one overall pick.
I do think this is the last time that Vegas has a true chance to win a game. I don't even think they're going to be close with Buffalo next week. And they may shock me and completely come out and make things happen next week in a big game. But, man, I don't see it happening for them next week, which makes this game all the more huge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Colorado, though. I'm going to go with Colorado. I think it comes down to goalie play, and I think I trust Dylan Ward. As tough as a season he's had this year, I think I trust him a little bit more to come out on top. But, man, is this going to be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upset because I'm going to miss at least half of it. I'm emceeing a concert on Saturday.
Okay.
So...
MC DJ, drop the bass.
Dude, Saturday's a crazy day for me. Got to be at the school at 8:30, leaving for game at 9, game's at noon. Probably get back here 4, and then pretty much got to skate right to that concert because it starts at 6. MC that, it's from 6 to 10. I don't think he goes on until like 8 or 8:30. So I don't even know if I'm going to be out of there at 10. So I don't know how much of this game I'm going to miss, but I will be turning it on when I get home. Let me tell you that much. And it's going to be fun to watch, but I think Colorado comes out on top.
That's your OTB on the clock game of the week.
Yeah.
Who's on the clock following the final buzzer of this game? Is it Las Vegas? Is it Rochester? Is it Philly? Is it Colorado? It's crazy. Then we move to the other nightcap, New York at Vancouver, which might be the most difficult game of the week to pick, just based on how both of these teams have been playing recently. I love how both of these teams are playing recently. I am going to go with New York, but I think this game is going to be super close, down to the wire. I think they're going to play physical. I think it's going to be back and forth. This could end up going to overtime. I'm going to go with New York, though, and they're going to come one step closer to clinching that playoff spot.
Man. I think this is going to be sneaky game of the week.
Agreed.
Which, once again, I hate that I'll be missing part of it, but I'll probably have that up on dual screen once I get to the crib. Like I said, man, you know how they got like all them TikToks and stuff talking about dudes rapping like the Rents do? New York been playing like the Rent do, even though they not paying rent there no more.
Well, they still are for the rest of the season.
Well, you know what I'm getting at. Basically, they got the, yeah, you can't renew your lease at the end of the year. So
do not collect
$200. Do not collect. So all they've been doing is collecting dubs and people's skeletons on the way out the door before they head off to Ottawa. So I think that trend continues in what will be a blockbuster game. I think Vancouver is going to make it more than just a fight due to them being at home and them having a chance still at the playoffs. But I think New York locks in their playoffs and enjoys this final season in New York the best way they can in the playoffs. I know they don't lock it this week, but
speaking of New York, I think one of the funniest things I've stumbled upon was I was on Jeff Teat's Instagram the other day, and every single post that Jeff Teat has, Emma Adams from the PLL social team, she's the best, just comments on all of his posts. Great post, Jeff, and a bunch of exclamation points. It's so funny because I could hear it in Emma's voice.
That is hilarious.
So funny. And then every post, Trevor comments on it, King of the North.
I mean,
he ain't wrong.
Not wrong.
Final game, 5 p.m. Eastern time, Albany at Panther City. This is a big game. Albany needs to get back on their P's and Q's and stay in that 3 seed because they have another team right at their heels. I'm going to go with Albany to get the road win. But I think this game could be super close, and Panther City needs this win to keep that postseason dream alive for the most part and stay ahead of New York in the standings as well. But I'm going to go with Albany to get the dub.
I think Albany gets this one as well. Panther City is going to be fighting for their lives, but I think Albany comes out on top as they try and stay ahead of to have that third seed rather than fourth, and give themselves, you know, the better analytics and such going through the playoffs. But Panther City is really going to want this one, because if they lose, they're literally playing for a playoff spot next week. So I think they kind of want a little bit of cushion there, but I'm not sure if they're going to get it from a team in Albany that's been kind of just hot all year.
Yeah, at 52:05, I just want to apologize to everyone for Deej. Sorry for cussing.
That's going to be so great.
But there are your picks of the week for week 20. We both have Philly. We both have Toronto. I've got Buffalo. You've got Calgary. We both have San Diego. Both have Colorado. Both have New York. And we both have Albany. And those are your NLL week 20 Beer Money picks of the week, brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer. Let's shift gears, Deej, to the PLL, and it is brought to you by our app code in the PLL app. Download the PLL app, guys. If you haven't already, what are you doing? That thing is one of the greatest resources when it comes to covering the pro field game and the Premier Lacrosse League. DJ and I use it literally every single day. He's sending me articles to get experience points in the app. I'm doing research. You can literally research directly in the app to get the trivia questions correct. We do our college pick'em in the app. Shout out to TLN. And the best part is we can give you 500 XP right now when you use our app code. So download the PLL app, go to the redeem code section, and type in OTBPOD, and you get 500 XP in the PLL app. That's code OTBPOD for 500 XP in the PLL app. Shout out to the PLL and the PLL app for giving us that app integration. I got to hit them up too soon so that we can have the OTB fantasy group locked and loaded for PLL season in the app. But yeah, download that app, guys. It is truly a lifesaver when it comes to covering the PLL. We've had some extensions in the past couple of days in the PLL. Shout out to the PLL Pipeline, our guy Chase. Go follow him on all the socials at the PLL Pipeline, keeping track of everything going on. across the board when it comes to extensions, free agency, and whatnot. But recently, since we last recorded, Brendan Nichtern has been moved to the holdout list. Obviously, he will not be playing this year due to military obligations. So that move happened, and all of the players who were not signed by other teams that fell under the 30% threshold and were made free agents, that deadline has passed, so they go back to their original teams on a one-year contract, or on the contracts that they were already on. So they are back with their teams. The Boston Cannons have hired Kyle Hartzell as an assistant coach and defensive coordinator. Love that for the Cannons. I think that's a huge move. Kyle Hartzell obviously pretty much announced his retirement in front of us on Long Island, and you could tell the relationship that he and Brian Holman have is second to none, other than maybe Marcus, obviously, but that's because that's his son. But Kyle Hartzell and Coach Holman have quite the relationship, and I think this is great for the league. I think this is awesome for the Cannons with that new look defense they have, to have Kyle Hartzell, you know, kind of just, you know, using his brain tutelage to help them out defensively is going to be a massive get for this Cannons defense that now features Bryce Young, Garrett Eppel, and obviously the boys that were there last year. But I love this move for the Cannons.
I mean, and the thing I like is, you know, it's very similar to what we talked about with Tucker and him, you know,
allegedly going to the Water Dogs.
Yeah. You know, helping out Bill Tierney. Is this guy just did it, you know, and Kyle Hartzell's been doing it for some years, but like, and so had Tucker Durkin, but like they both just got done doing it in this league at this level. They've been in the locker rooms. More importantly for Kyle, he's been in that specific locker room. Like obviously, especially the PLL locker rooms change every season, but a lot of those guys are coming back from the Cannons. So he's already been in that specific locker room. He knows how guys like to be talked to. He knows what gets guys going, what gets them down. He knows, you know, some of the best parts of their game. He knows the weak points. He's going to be able to get in and make more than just a significant impact right away. He's going to be able to take scenarios from last year that a lot of these guys probably still remember and fix up on them because he was out there. He knows exactly what went wrong and what didn't. And just having that experience of playing in this league so close to being a coach. Like, I think a lot of times you see former players go back and be coaches, but there's been years in between the end of their playing days and the start of their coaching days. When you're able to make that jump quicker, I feel like it helps you. And I kind of feel that way as a coach too. Like, as I've been coaching, I literally started coaching not even a full year after I started playing, or after I was done playing. So there were still a lot of instances I could see plays happening where I'd be like, I would have done this instead of that, simply because I was just playing. I was only 4 years removed from high school ball, so I still remember a lot about high school ball. It's very helpful to be close in range with not only your players, but just the play style of how the league is. So I guarantee the PLL play style will eventually change. So some of these guys that have retired now, if they wait 5 or 10 years, they're not going to quite be caught up on what's happening in the league at the moment. Whereas Kyle and Tucker are going into a position where they're here. They know exactly what's going on, what it's going to look like. And if there are changes, they're going to be small rather than having to completely adjust to a new game.
And we've seen this too in previous years where Brooksy with Atlas, you know, that's been a huge help for them with somebody who retired. And then a year later when Rubior comes in, is ready to rock and roll on that coaching staff. And I think he's been a phenomenal, you know, offensive coordinator for them. To where, like, he was the interim coach for Champ Series. He was coaching the PLL All-Stars in Japan. Like, there's obviously a high level of respect and praise and just, like, the knowledge that Brooksy brings to the table. And then we're going to see it this year with the Whipsnakes, with Drew Snyder getting hired. I think Drew coming in is huge for them. And Kevin Unterstein obviously gets hired along with Brooksy under Mike Pressler, another former player who pretty much immediately goes into coaching. that we kind of talked about as soon as he retired. It's like, we wouldn't be surprised if KU gets hired to be a coach at some point, and boom, Mike Pressler did it. So there's a lot of former players coming in as coaches, and I love that for Hartzell, and I think it's going to be huge for Coach Holman's staff to have him in the mix. Nat St. Laurent not done getting extensions handed out. Redwoods re-signed TD Ireland to an extension through 2026. So the face-off dot is covered for the California Redwoods for the next three seasons. The Maryland Whipsnakes extended midfielder Brad Smith through 2026, which is huge for them. And then the Boston Cannons have extended midfielder Jeff Traynor, the pride of Belrica, through 2026 as well. Love that for Jeff. We're working to get Jeff on this show because he's obviously a follower of the pod. But I love those extensions for those teams. I also think this is a fascinating thing that our guy Chase put on his Instagram page. There's an anonymous PLL coach on Pacino Stan 88 on Jake Pacino. People are going to look at him and go 5'8", 190 pounds. He's an incredible playmaker and is certainly a guy you have to pay attention to the rest of the season. That's from a anonymous PLL coach.
You know who said that, right?
Let him know. It's Pacino Stand 88. It's Brian Knows Lax.
No, I was going through those, and low-key I was trying to, like, because, like, what a lot of people out there, like, don't get to, like, really experience is, like, talking to them one-on-one and, like, being able to hear just how, like, what their diction is like and what kind of rhetoric they use. I was low-key, like, looking through those and trying to, like, think back to conversations, think back to pressers and be like, okay, like, how do these guys talk? I think that first one was AT.
I was going to say.
I think that first one was AT. But, like, obviously, I can't be, like, 100% sure.
Yeah, we have no idea. Literally have no idea.
Based on, like, just guesses, not even guesses, but just that previous knowledge I have interacting with him. I was like, that sounds like an AT quote right there.
And if he was still true in the league, like, if he was still coaching, it also kind of sounds like Andy Copeland.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it could still be Cope.
Mm-hmm.
Because they may have taken those quotes at the time of when he was still in the league. So,
but I could hear those two coaches saying that. And to a degree, I could hear Nat saying it, but I don't think he's a guy that's on Nat's board for the roster makeup that they have right now. But I could hear him, like, saying that about Jake as, like, a praise of a player. But it definitely sounds like AT to me. That's who I was also thinking.
Yeah, like, I read that and I was like, okay, AT. Just tell us you're going to get him. Just go ahead and draft him. Yep. Why not? He already wears palindrome like the rest of your team does. So, yeah, just go ahead.
100%.
What number do you think he would switch to if he ended up?
Like, he's, what, 88?
Yeah, because, like, if he goes to Atlas, he's going to have to switch numbers because of Adler. If he goes to Chaos, he's going to have to switch numbers because of Newman.
Well, let's just look at Chaos because he fits the bill for them.
He does fit the bill for Chaos a lot. But I wouldn't be surprised to see either him or Sam Alexo end up with Whipsnakes. Which both of those things I just said, both those names are going to have Brian jumping off the couch.
So right now, if he goes to Chaos, these are the palindrome numbers that are taken. 88, obviously, with Jared Newman. 22 with Josh. Kevin Rogers is wearing 77. Ian McKay is 55. Jack is 99. And that is it. So you still have 11 because BK is on Whipsnakes now. So that's eliminated. 33, mm-hmm. which is...
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Mm. 44. 66, which just feels like an NPC number.
Nah, 66 is a D number for sure. Handful of D guys were double sixes.
And that's it. 44 feels like...
I like 44. He will not wear sticks. He will not.
How mad
he will not. No, he will not.
Also, I need you to look at Greg Kaholin's headshot on the Chaos roster page, because it's like someone zoomed in with a camera so hard on his face. It's totally like, it looks like a high school yearbook headshot. Or also, he could go double zero.
Hey, you know what this is? They took his college one from Virginia and just put
it. Yeah. It looks like a high school yearbook headshot, though.
Yeah. They need to get Surge. Oh, wait. Surge is on this team. Never mind.
But also, double zero is available, too, as far as I know, to be a number that you can wear.
I don't
but
think that's also like, allowed to wear double zero.
It's like a goalie. That's like your third goalie.
He bet not put on double zero. 44 and 66, I think, are solid for him.
Or he's just like, hey, Kevin Rogers. Because I don't think Rog wore... Did he wear 77 with Redwoods? I don't think so.
Yeah, he did.
I thought he wore a different number for some reason.
I feel like he did, though.
Let me look at Chase's Instagram from when he posted that they signed him. No, he wore 28 with the Redwoods. If I'm Jake Pacino, I'm going, hey, bud, what's it going to take to get 77 real quick?
Yeah. Going to be like your first three game checks.
Anybody wearing 28 with Chaos?
Nah, no, I don't think so.
So maybe that's just a placeholder number on there.
It might be.
Kevin Rogers. Because I also think he wore 28 with Chrome.
Maybe.
So it might just be a placeholder.
I don't know. I don't know why I feel like I remember him wearing 77 with more than one team.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he wore 28 with both. He definitely wore it with the Redwoods, because I just looked at the picture and that's what he wore at Champ Series, which was the most recent team he was on. But yeah, interesting quote there. Some other PLL offseason news. The official supporter groups have been announced, which is really, really cool. I love this initiative that has been introduced and kind of headlined by Libby Vandal, who is an absolute rock star. The supporter groups are going to be awesome for the home cities and what they are trying to accomplish. If you're from Philadelphia, you obviously know like the Sons of Ben for the Philadelphia Union. There's different supporter groups, especially in pro soccer, is huge. But the PLL officially announced them this week. And I'm pulling them up here because I know that they posted about it somewhere. But what are your overall thoughts on the supporter groups?
I love the idea. It gets people, you know, talking about their team, and it reminds me a lot of like communities when those got started over on Twitter. I think those are going to be huge. But I think it just gives people an opportunity to get together and have someone to talk about. Like, how many times is like, maybe not as much for you. I know you're busy and you are not a drinker, but like, I can't tell you the amount of times I've been hit up like, hey, let's just grab a beer and go watch the game at the
bar.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen as often in lacrosse because one, lacrosse isn't on at the bar most of the time. And then two, just, a lot of people, it's hard for them to find other people who enjoy watching lacrosse in their area. The supporter groups are going to give them exactly that. Not only are they giving you people in your area who like lacrosse, they're giving you people from your who support your favorite team as well and are fans of your favorite team in your area. So it's going to have people meeting up at bars, have people like, yo, I know I'm not going out this weekend, but you want to just swing by my crib and watch the game. Like, it's going to create friendships. It's going to give people a chance to say, dude, we live in the same city. There's no reason for both of us to drive, you know, over to the game in Charlotte. How about, you know, I drive, you hop in, just like put some gas money in or something. There's just so many different avenues that this gets to go to. because you're just bringing together like people. My favorite thing about lacrosse is bringing together. It just brings so many people together based off of love for the game. And now you're using teams in those regions to do it as well. And to me, it just was like a light bulb moment. Like, I can't. I'm happy for when they're going to make their way here to the Midwest. Like, I think the Midwest was a little bit broad of an area right now. It would have been hard to kind of have a supporter group here because it would have encased so much. But seeing what they're doing in the other markets, knowing that they do plan on eventually coming here, it's going to be great when they do, you know, come through here. They roll out the team, the supporter group's going to get going, and we'll have experienced groups to look at and go off of. I think they're going about bringing out fanship in the regions and areas the best way they can.
Yeah, and I've been talking with Libby directly to get these supporter groups in touch with us in particular. We're going to be working with the supporter groups in any way we possibly can, especially in Philly, because it's right in my backyard and it's easy for me to communicate with them. I've been talking directly with the Water Dog supporter group as well. And it's going to be really cool because our homecoming pass seats are in the supporter group section. So if you end up winning our giveaway for those tickets, you're going to be hanging out with the K9 crew, which I love. But here are the official supporter groups that are recognized by the PLL for each team. So going alphabetical order, the Utah Archers, it is the Arrowhead. And I love the logo. I love the moniker behind it. The Arrowhead is pretty awesome. So shout out to the Utah Arrowhead supporter group. The New York Stampede is the Atlas supporter group. Absolutely love that name. Fits the bill for the Bulls. Very, very good. I also was looking at Tucker Durkin's Instagram the other day. His bio still has like that he's playing for the Atlas, but it says professional athlete, Atlas Bulls.
Atlas Bulls is crazy.
So funny. Then we have the next supporter group is the Boston Cannons is the Boston Battery, which they are I got to give kudos to them. They're the first supporter group that started a podcast specifically for the Boston Cannons. Invite the boys on. This is us calling out the Boston Battery. Let's link. Let's talk some Cannons. We'd love to come on. Reach out. Let's do a collabo. Shout out to the Boston Battery. But I love that they're taking that initiative because it's so cool to see the different ways that each supporter group is building and how they're attacking being a supporter group and doing a podcast. I think is super, super cool for them. And it's only going to help them grow that much more. So the Boston Battery is your Cannon supporter group. Then we got the big dog, the one that's been going from day one back to the Charlotte Hounds days and a little rebrand for them boys down in Carolina, the Red Legion. I love that name. It is awesome. They've obviously been following us for a while now. But the Carolina Chaos supporter group, the Red Legion, their logo is so dope. I need their logo on a rope hat expeditiously. Shout out to Michael Harrison. Shout out to everybody that is part of the Red Legion. They have been showing us love since they conjured up their new branding and everything from the Hound Legion to the Red Legion. They're going to be absolutely, no pun intended, chaotic down in Carolina for their homecoming weekend. I'm so excited for them. Then we move to one of the cooler logos too. I need this on a shirt, on a rope hat as well. The Denver Outlaws supporter group, the Rough Riders. The skeleton horse with the skeleton on top looks awesome. I love that name for the Outlaws. What a perfect supporter group for them. The Rough Riders are in the mix with the Denver Outlaws. Then we have the California Redwoods, Deej, the supporter group for the Woods. It's the Den, and I love the Crest logo. It looks like a forest, you know, like a forest ranger type logo you'd see on like one of their like sashes or something. It looks so cool. I love the logo that they came up for the Den. So shout out to the Woods supporter group. And then we got the boys here in Philly, the Canine Crew. Absolutely love it. The nose on the dog is the Keystone logo. It's got the Liberty Bells on there. And if you end up coming to Philly, you're going to be sitting in the OTB Underground Sports Philadelphia seats with the Canine Crew. And I've been talking with the Canine Crew this week as well. They have a lot of big things planned. We're going to be working with them directly with not only this show, but Underground Sports Philadelphia as well, since they're right in our backyard and working directly with them. We're going to be working directly with all the supporter groups, though. So we're not singling just the Canine Crew out, but since they're right in our backyard, we're planning to do some awesome stuff with them. And they've got some awesome things planned that I'm excited to be a part of. So shout out to the Canine Crew. And then last but certainly not least, the Whip Snake supporter group is the Snake Pit. What a perfect name for the Maryland Whip Snakes. The Snake Pit is in the mix for the Baltimore, Maryland area for your Whip Snakes. It's awesome. I love this movement. They are doing some really awesome things to get more fans involved and be part of those supporter groups. So shout out to all the PLL supporter groups. You guys are trailblazing something big that, you know, you should be proud to be a part of. And everybody that showed out to Champ Series Week to work directly with Libby on this project, you guys are awesome, awesome individuals who are going to be at the forefront of like this community initiative with these home cities and these teams being in your market. So shout out to everybody involved with the supporter group. Shout out to Libby. I want to get Libby on the show too, to like break all this down and pick her brain, because it's such an awesome initiative that they have going with the supporter groups. Also in PLL off-season news, we got some competition on the block, Deech. The big dogs are coming to play in the podcast game. Mike and Paul Rabel have announced a new podcast called One-on-Ones, where they will be answering three questions a week from PLL fans. You can call into a voicemail line or email them. I love this idea. It is such a cool concept. And our good pal, Water Dogs beat writer Wyatt Miller, said, you know, imagine a major four sport commissioner starting a show. That's essentially what this is. And I couldn't be happy. This is going to be appointment listening for us, because we are going to have direct access to listen to what Mike and Paul have to say about certain questions when it comes to the growth of the league, when it comes to the league in general. And I hope this continues to go forever. You know, this is such a great concept and going to be such a great tool for us and the media, alongside with how great of a tool it's going to be for the fans.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for this. I think getting an inside look into, you know, how they're processing things, how they're thinking about things, and just kind of being able to ask them questions and get those answers out to everybody in a broad span for their listener, you know, listenership when they want to, mm-hmm. at their convenience is awesome. And it's kind of going to be there longstanding, and it gives you kind of an insight to what's happening in the PLL. Cause like, I think even though they big four sports aren't doing this, there's so much conversation about what is going on that it all gets out. Like when the NBA is about to get ready to change a rule, it's not a surprise to anyone, right? Last year, everybody was just like on the floor about the face-off stuff because mm-hmm. nobody knew it was coming. So I think this is just one of those steps that they're making to kind of be more like the big four, but in a different way. You don't have the big four.
It's transparency. Where
you're not able to directly speak to a commissioner, a president, CEO, but those things are getting out for you to know. Here, you're going to be able to talk directly to them, get your answer directly, and know exactly why or why not something happened. And I think that's huge in growing and growing the fanship of the league as a whole.
Yeah, I love this concept. This is going to be appointment listening for us every single week. We're going to be talking about what they talk about. So I'm very excited for this. And, you know, we want to talk about collabs. Hey, when's that OTB one-on-ones collab happening, Mike and Paul? Let's make that happen.
You know where to find us.
But I'm pumped for them. I think this is such a unique approach for a front office for a pro sports league to have. And if you are a fan of the PLL, I think I speak for DJ here. In the proper way of doing it, if you have a question that is like burning in your brain and want it answered that you think will get answered on that show, leave a voicemail on that show. Email that show. Get your answer, because I'm sure there are so many people out there that don't realize they have that question about the league, that if you ask that question and it gets answered, you're going to be helping so many other fans getting that question answered by Mike and Paul. And I'm sure there's going to be questions that Deej and I have from different aspects that we may call in and get a question answered from Mike and Paul on that show. So I can't recommend it enough. If you have a question that you think is an intellectual question to ask, call into one-on-ones. It's going to do a lot of good for the growth and development of the league moving forward. And I can't wait for the first episode. I think it's dropping April 17th. So yeah, shout out to Mike and Paul. Yo, they should advertise the pod on our pod.
They definitely can.
I'm just saying.
We're open to having them on.
We are open to having that advertisement. I've been hearing John Boy and Jake on Talking Yanks, because I just love consuming all their content, and on Talking Baseball, they're advertising a Bloomberg podcast with Alex Rodriguez. So hey, PLL, let's talk. Let's get some negotiations going, guys. But yeah, shout out to Mike and Paul for one-on-ones. I can't wait to listen to the first episode. It's dropping next week. We'll be talking about it on this show because it'll be out by the time we record, which is great for us. But Deej, let's wrap up with Portal Jones breaking down the college game. It is brought to you by our pals over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. From sunglasses to blue light glasses and prescription lenses, Tomahawk Shades has you covered. It is simply the best eyewear. It feels great on your face, feels great in your hands, and it is a fraction of the price of those big eyewear companies. Why are you going to spend $300, $400, $500 on a pair of sunglasses when you can spend $35 to $55 on a pair of sunglasses and have better quality that's going to last longer, that is going to look even better on your face than those big eyewear companies? Tomahawk Shades also has a phenomenal refund policy in terms of if you lose, they're stolen, broken. They love hearing a good story. All you got to do is pay for the shipping when it comes to getting them replaced. They also just posted an amazing graphic for the Masters and this big golf weekend with Tomahawk golf logos, and our golf podcast getting the whole commented on and said, I need this on a shirt or a rope hat. How can I get that? And they said, coming soon, dot, dot, dot. So they're going to have some awesome golf merch coming, golf season right around the corner. But fill up your cart at TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app in the App Store, Google Play Store. And when you go to check out, use code USP for 25% off your order. That's a massive discount on an already discounted product from the big eyewear companies that is phenomenal quality. It's TomahawkShades.com or the Tomahawk Shades app. Use code USP for 25% off your order. And I don't mean to interrupt your breakdown of college lacrosse, but for our Philadelphia listeners, this is breaking just Underground Sports Philadelphia news on OTB. The Eagles have signed CJ Uzomah to a one-year contract. Love that. Portal Jones, the floor is yours.
Thank you. We'll start in the MIAA with the saddest news of the week. Adrian was absolutely robbed of a win over Calvin. Absolutely robbed. This is what happened.
Did they beat Hobbs, though?
Stop. All right. This is what happened. Kid dives in away from the goal. Goalie comes out and pushes him. And they call him for goalie interference. And Adrian ends up losing 8-9 in double overtime. Couldn't be more upset. Kalamazoo took down Alma 17-4, looking great. And Hope takes down big and mighty Albion 14-10. We'll come back to the MIAA in a few days. As this was all on Saturday. A couple other big games. RPI is continuing to roll as they beat Clarkson by 5. Chatham, big over Bethany from West Virginia, 24-3. My guy, Tristan Johnson, playing down at Arcadia. That's the guy who yelled at me at the championships. He's playing at Arcadia in Philly. They win 21-4 over FDU Florham. St. John Fisher, 18-13 over Hartwick. Washington and Lee, 10-9 over Lynchburg. Ended up being a huge game. Otterbein, 17-6 over Mount Union. Coach Nat and his Polar Bears beat Muskingum 14-2. Transylvania beats Mount St. Joseph 25-1. And some of the scores are just getting ridiculous. Riviere over Mitchell 25-2. Shout out D3 Hero. We see you, Connor. 25-2 is big time stuff down there. Denison over Wabash 20-9. John Carroll 25-0 over Wilmington, Ohio. Illinois Wesleyan over Augustana 23-3. North Central over MSOE 12-4. That might be right. Oh, Benedictine over Concordia, Chicago 26-1. LaSalle over Albertus Magnus 21-3. Cabrini over Marymount 25-4. Salisbury gets a huge ranked dub over Christopher Newport, 18-12. Cornell College over Earlham, 13-4. Oberlin over Wittenberg, 8-7. That actually turned out to be a good game. York beat Albright, 20-4. Grove City over Franciscan, 28-2. Elmhurst, 13-8 over Carthage. That wraps up Saturday. Saturday was star-studded in the D3 game. Just insanity. Colorado College, 24-7 over Centenary. William Peace, 21-5 over Warren Wilson. That wraps up Sunday. Nothing big going on there. 25-3, Newman over Centenary, New Jersey. Tuesday, we got some more MIAA action here in Michigan. Trine beat Alma 30-4, which I couldn't believe. That literally made me fall out of my chair. Kenyon over Oberlin, 14-8. Albion beats Kalamazoo 13-5. Benedictine with another huge 20-8 win over Marion from Wisconsin. And did we get anything good last night? Bowdoin over Colby 25-5. Allegheny over Bethany from West Virginia 22-8. Capital 25-0 on Wilmington. Marywood 22-0 on Centenary, New Jersey. Amherst beats Connecticut College 14-8. Marietta gets an overtime win over Muskingum 10-9. Franciscan beats Thiel 25-10. Lynchburg 23-0 over Randolph. Trinity, Connecticut beats Wesleyan, Connecticut 10-9 in overtime. I don't think the Cabrini. Shout out Nestler. 26-7.
Special teams, special play, special players.
Which is insanity. And I think that might be it for Oh, Tufts gets a 20-11 win over Bates. Baldwin Wallace 23-8 over Mount Union. Arcadia gets a win.
Terry.
Arcadia gets a win over Lebanon Valley. RIT over Ithaca 16-10. Salisbury 18-6 over Mary Washington. And I don't think they're – I'm not even going to look at this weekend. We'll turn back to that next week if we need to. Check D2, see if there's anything good going on here. Mercyhurst, 19-10 over Lake Erie. Lenore Ryan, 19-3 over Tusculum. Wilmington, Delaware over Felician, 29-9. But really, none of these scores are 22-7 for a Limestone win. Tampa wins 20-4 over Lynn. And Davenport here in Michigan with a 8-6 dub over Quincy. So D2 making a few waves, but nothing big. Let's get the people we're really here for. It's D1. Denver got a win over St. John's, 18-8. LIU over Canisius, 17-15. Friday night. Saturday, Colgate with a huge upset over Army, 14-11. J-Hop takes down Penn State, 9-8 in overtime. That ended up being a phenomenal game. Maryland over Ohio State, 8-7, which ended up being a good game as well. North Carolina takes down or loses to Virginia, 14-6. Air Force continuing to roll out in there. Conference in the Patriot League. Cornell over Brown, 14-8. Delaware, 14-6 over Fairfield. Quinnipiac loses a game to Siena, 13-10. Merrimack barely squeezes by NJIT, 15-14. St. Joe's over UMass, 12-7. And wrapping up Saturday was Yale over Penn, 12-9. Notre Dame in the rematch of the championship game gets the best of Duke, 15-12. Rutgers somehow came into Ann Arbor and left with a win, 9-7. Still a little heated about that. Yale beating BU. Boston U has been great so far this year. Yale finally gets one on them.
I don't mean to cut you off, Deej. We have some literal lacrosse breaking news. Utah Archer Matt McMahon announced his retirement.
Yeah, I see.
This never happens on the pod. This usually happens after we finish recording.
Wow.
That's huge. Goes out a champion. Day one Archer, follower of the pod.
I'm kind of speechless.
That's wild. Kind of changes the landscape of the draft a little bit.
When it comes I also don't have time to accurately dive into all of that today, which is frustrating in its own right, but man, that's going to be huge. I'll probably end up getting some discourse about that on Twitter.
We'll make videos about it for social.
Let's close out the week, man. Oh,
wow. Shout out to Matt McMahon. One hell of a career.
Happy Navy Army Week to all who celebrate. Lehigh Colgate will be a huge game. Syracuse, North Carolina is going to be fun to watch. Harvard Penn are going to get after it. Albany, NJIT will be fun. Georgetown, Denver is always fun, especially with how good Georgetown has been recently. J-Hop, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Rutgers, Maryland. We know what the Big Ten is going to give us week in and week out. Going to be phenomenal games there. Notre Dame's getting a piece of Cornell on the road out in Ithaca. And Virginia's taking on Duke down in Durham. So that'll be nice to see on Sunday. Yale and Hofstra got the lone Tuesday game. And we'll be back here next week with more action. Man, Matt McMahon really just, that threw me off.
Great dude. Special plays. But special player, Matt McMahon. Yeah, absolute legend. Going to be missed on that Archers team. Going to miss seeing him every weekend on the PLL tour. But that fills a huge void in that Archers defense that we will certainly break down. We'll have full-on draft analysis videos coming in the next few weeks. And obviously our drafts spectacular live stream will be happening. But congratulations to Matt McMahon on one hell of a career, which, you know, there's still kind of one big domino in PLL free agency that has not fallen yet, and it's whether or not Eddie Glazer's coming back or retiring, which a move like this kind of makes me feel like Glaze also might be hanging it up. But congratulations to Matt McMahon, just an awesome person, and has always been kind to us every single day. You know, we've been covering the Archers and him and his career. So big ups to Matt McMahon. I'll never forget walking through the Philadelphia Convention Center with him in 2020 during LaxCon. Just a mountain of a human, too. Matt McMahon is a large human being and just ever so kind and one of the best to ever do it. So shout out to 77, Matt McMahon. That'll do it for this episode. Make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/OTB LaxPod. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the goddamn pod on Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does help when you guys subscribe and rate and review the podcast with 5 stars. Lets us hit new milestones, allows us to do more dope stuff with and for you guys. So keep subscribing if you haven't already. Subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show every week. Shorts, clips, live streams, original video content, the Draft Spectacular will be on the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. So keep subscribing. Let's get to 800 subscribers before the end of the month. We're at 761 right now. And of course, subscribe to the Outside the Box podcast YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/@OTBLaxPod. Get your merch at phiapparel.co. Use code underground for 10% off your merch orders. And this has been episode number 318. That's the OG's birthday of the award nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked. And of course, viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, I'm KB. We'll catch you guys next week. Enjoy this weekend of lacrosse, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.